Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Mark.
And I'm Dave.
And we're here to talk about the 94-108 loss to the Miami Heat.
It was a hard loss. I felt like the guys did a really good job at competing for every minute they were out on the court. This was something without Al Horford we expect to see is a lot of growing pains, but that's okay. The fight in them and the guys today was amazing.
Yeah, we're going to get into the game reaction and then go over the stats. Then we'll go quarter by quarter and what we saw, go through our offense and defensive takeaways, our upcoming schedule, and obviously our fan of the game. Thank you for joining us for The Last Storm. Here we go.
You know, coming into the game, I think if you've been listening to now us now, you know that one of the stats I love to look at is offensive rebounds. I think it's a crucial part of the game. So coming into this game, we've allowed a lot of offensive rebounds in the last few games. So I was excited to see how coach was going to attack that. And we saw some great things throughout the night, but especially in the first quarter, we were able to keep him off the offensive glass, and that was big for us.
Yeah, I felt like we played three really good quarters. That fourth quarter, things really fell apart for us. We had a lot of trouble with turnovers, and overall, with 17 turnovers and only 21 assists, well, I shouldn't say only 21 assists, but you know, that's not a very good assist turnover ratio.
Yeah, I think that's something that's hard. But on the same sense, it still shows that we can pass the ball well. A lot of those turnovers I felt like were two open guys that Miami just did a really good job at stepping in front of the pass and getting the ball up the court very quickly. Again, this is a lot of growing pains. There's too many good things to look at tonight to get stuck on the, you know, any negative stats like Mark knows. But 21 assists against a team like Miami, it was really good. And we were really impressed with Maladone and the way he was able to carry the team with assists. And again, having SGA have three games in a row where he has 5-plus assists never hurts.
For sure, man. And Kendrick Nunn went for 23 points. Duncan Robinson went for 22, and he shot 6 for 13 on threes. And Bam went for 19 points, 13 rebounds. But really, to me, that was the matchup I enjoyed the most today, was watching Bam and Isaiah Roby go at it.
Yeah, Roby just made everything difficult for Bam. It's exactly what we like to see from our young starting center tonight with Al Horford out. I just was really impressed by how Isaiah Roby consistently got Bam out of the lane and made him play out on the perimeter, making him almost completely ineffective in the post. On defense, which is exactly what we like to see. Also, Isaiah did a really good job at making the inside shots and the basic layups even very difficult for Bam. So this was a big-time maturity for Roby, and this is exactly the type of development that Mark and I get excited about as he continues to develop his game right in front of us.
Definitely, man. I'm going to go ahead and go over the stats real quick, and then we'll get into our quarter-by-quarter reaction. So Dort, 11 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, and 1 steal. He shot 4 for 5 from the free throw line. Baisley was 3 for 7 from 3, 13 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and 1 steal. Isaiah Roby was 2 for 2 from 3. He scored 12 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 steal. Teo Maladon, 2 for 6 from 3, 8 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. He shot 5 for 6 on free throws. And Isaiah Roby shot 2 for 2, by the way. SGA was 2 for 3 on threes. He went for 27 points, 2 rebounds, 5 assists, and he was 5 for 6 from the free throw line. Hami had no points, and this was the first time I can remember all season he had no points, but he had 4 rebounds, 2 assists, and 1 steal. Moose was 3 for 7 from the 3-point line, 11 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 for 2 for the free throw line. Kenny was 1 for 3 for 3, 6 points, 7 rebounds, 1 assist, and Justin Jackson went for 6 points, 1 rebound, 1 steal, and 2 for 2 from the free throw line.
Really, the two guys that stood out to me personally was Theo Maladone. The two threes that he hit in the game were big shots. The way that he was able to pass the ball, he had 5 assists, 5 rebounds. He just affected every aspect of the game with only two turnovers. I felt like this was a big game from Theo. I also want to point out Kenny Hustle. He got 24 minutes today, but he was impacting every aspect of the game. He played incredibly hard defense. I felt like he was all over the place on defense, yet he only committed one foul. So that's really big to be able to see a player like Kenny hustle like he is, and he did, and only commit one foul. So these are really big minutes from these two guys, and it's really awesome to see how they're continuously getting minutes in big games and coaches rewarding them with getting them big minutes.
For sure, man. And to start out the game, we had Baisley, Dort, Roby, SGA, and Tao. I really like that lineup. Watching Baisley, Roby, SGA, you know, them figure out how to work together. Obviously, Dort and Tao too, but you know, Baisley, Roby, that connection, when I see that go, you know, when they go to that high-low into the post, I love watching that.
Yeah, and I just have to point this out, is we only had one 30-year-old player that played tonight. That was Mike Muscala. He got some big minutes at 20 minutes, but everybody else, Jackson is 25, Kenny's 26, but we have 23 and under after that. So it's really big to be able to see and be able to point that out, is looking at our guys and how young they are and being able to keep the game close for three quarters and really making Miami play the style of defense and offense that we wanted them to play in the first three quarters. Now, Miami figured it out, obviously, but this is exactly what we want to see from this team, as young as they are.
Right. And so start off the game for the scoring for us, Dort was able to knock down a three on a Tao assist, and then SGA was able to get the bucket with a really strong drive. That was something he did all game, was continue to drive to the bucket and was able to score at the basket.
He's just proving that he's one of the most effective players in the NBA at driving to the hoop and scoring contestedly. So again, this is something big from SGA, a big game, a big quarter. He just played really well.
Roby had a great bucket off of a really great pass from Tao. He threaded the needle on a bounce pass with one hand. Roby gathered the ball, was able to use a ball fake and get to the basket and score. It was a really great move. SGA also had a spin move with a great finger roll. And, you know, like I said, he kept getting to that basket. Baze was able to knock down a three on a Tao assist. SGA was able to draw the defense and kick the ball and keep it moving. So he got the hockey assist there. And with 7 minutes and 5 seconds left in the first quarter, we called timeout. The score was tied at 12, and we were having a lot of fun in this game.
Yeah, we were just making shots incredibly difficult for Miami. It was something that was really beautiful to watch on defense, as they just as our guys contested everything and made everything difficult. Whether it was Bam inside trying to score an easy alley-oop, getting there wasn't easy. And to me, this is exactly how we like to have this team play when they're playing balls to the wall and they're playing incredibly physical, even though for every single right reason, this Miami team should have blown us out by much, much more than 14. And these guys were continuously hustling and not letting what the score sheet should be dictate how they played.
Yeah, SGA has a lot of gravity, and the way that he attracts the defenses to him, and he, you know, they had to adjust their defense, and they really would blitz him anytime there was a pick and try to take the ball out of his hands. And he wasn't just giving it up. You know, that was something that we talked about early. The first few times we saw him, you know, when he would get blitzed, he would give up the ball quickly, which is the right thing to do a lot of times. But if they're not committing, then what he was doing, which was dribbling backwards and then looking for a different angle of attack, that was really good to see. He went on a run where he scored 6 points in a row for us. One of them was a great free throw line kind of runner where it bounced. It was a bank shot as the shot clock got pretty low. And then he also had this really great drive where he split the screen and was able to get to the bucket. Other than that, Moose hit a three on a Hami assist with 40 seconds left in the quarter. But at the end of the quarter, we were down 21-23, and SGA had played the full quarter.
Yeah, he's played some amazing minutes, and I felt like there was a lot of great things that our offense was doing, especially in the first quarter. But the way that we were passing, and then we were cutting, and then we were just driving to the hole and getting and finding the open man was huge. It's something that we've seen a lot this year, is I feel like we do the whole pass, cut, drive, start back over. And it's something that we as ex-coaches, we love to, you know, deal with consistency. And that's something that we see a lot. And the other thing I love to see that we saw a lot with, especially with the Mike play, is we come down the floor and we pass the ball incredibly fast. We go pass, pass, shoot within like 7 seconds of coming down the floor. That is really awesome as well, because usually if we're going pass, pass, shoot, that means we're trying to pick up the pace of the game, and the three-pointer is open. And we saw that with Mike. We saw that with SGA. There's so many great things that we're able to do, but you can tell when coach is trying to slow it down just a little bit, and he gets into that driving and passing game, and he tells the guys that, you know, to, you know, I don't even know what he calls the offense right now. I haven't even got into that, but I can see how he's trying to get the guys to start running it. And to me, this is exactly what we want to see from this young team, is the way that they were able to get to the hole and how coach was able to get them easy buckets. Those were big, very big.
Definitely, for sure, man. And so the start out the second quarter, Justin Jackson really made an impact. He drew a charge on Bam, and then he was able to get a great pass to Teo for a three for an assist there. And then off of a cut, Kenny drove the ball, and then he was able to draw the defense and see Justin cutting to the basket. And so Justin was able to get a bucket there that put us up 26-25.
Again, just really great ball movement. And that's something that we've been saying a lot this year. It's a theme that we love to talk about, is how quickly they can pass the ball around the horn and get the ball to an open man. And we saw a lot of that tonight.
After that, Teo was able to hit a bucket on kind of a runner where he wasn't really running at the basket. He was running kind of to the side. It was a great bucket. And then Justin Jackson again was able to get another bucket off of a Moose assist. Moose hit a couple of free throws. And at 7:25, when we call timeout, we were up to 32-30.
Yeah, during that timeout, I noticed something that was really awesome on the bench, is we have George Hill back in the house. And it was really awesome to see George there helping the guys. He was talking to Baisley about a play that coach had called. You could tell Baisley was explaining it to him. And then George went right back next to coach, watching everything that coach did. He helped with the break. This is exactly what we want to see from one of our veterans. He wants to be out there playing with the guys, and it was showing tonight. He's ready to play, and I am incredibly excited to see that he has progressed so much so that he is on the bench at this particular game.
For sure, man. And Justin Jackson was able to get a steal for us, and then Kenny was able to get a bucket off of a Teo assist, and then a couple plays later, Kenny was able to knock down a three off of a Dort assist. And then Kenny was able to get one more free throw. So he got 6 straight points for us, and that was great to see. Then from that point, it was a lot of free throws. SGA hit a couple, then Dort split 2, SGA split 2, and then he was able to hit 2 consecutive. And after all those free throws, we were up 44-38 with 2 minutes and 29 seconds left at the second quarter.
Again, we just saw a lot of physical driving to the hole and making that extra pass. We saw a couple times where the pass would go to the open guy standing on the elbow, or he was inside, and or, you know, he would pass and then the shot would not be open there for him anymore, and he would make the pass on the outside. So we saw a lot of inside out game going on. And that's exactly what we like to see with the transition to the game as it starts going on, is inside out, moving the ball, getting the guys the open shots that open it. And something that we cannot underestimate is the hockey assist that happened tonight. It was incredible. The guys that were able to get the ball to the open guy by passing it to the guy next to him was great. And it was something that we saw a lot tonight.
You know, one thing that I noticed a lot tonight was the battle between Roby and Bam. That was really exciting to watch. With 1:30 left in the second quarter, Roby was able to secure an offensive rebound. And I loved watching him play. I mean, they're very similar in size, and their mobility really challenges the other one. And I thought Roby did an excellent job going against an all-star.
Again, he's just proving that he deserves to be in playing at least 25 plus minutes a game tonight. And he was playing against one of the league's best. And I was just really impressed the way that he was able to handle him and consistently made things incredibly difficult for him. You could tell that Bam was getting frustrated. And to me, that's exactly what we want to see from this second year player.
So Dort was able to get a bucket. And then when SGA came down the court, Roby set a screen, or he was getting in position, and I believe it was Nunn. He decided to go underneath the screen, and SGA pulled up and was able to knock that down with 1:05 left. That put us up 9, 49-40. After Baisley was able to get a bucket from an SGA assist with 30 seconds left, we went up 8, 51-43. And then Teo was able to knock down a 3 off of an SGA assist with 1.5 seconds left that put us up 9, 54-45. And so going into halftime, having that 9-point lead felt pretty good.
Yeah, we were both excited. We were felt like the guys were just doing a really good job at passing the ball, cutting to the hole, doing all the things that we love to see. The things that were happening were great. So again, going into halftime, both Mark and I were really excited about it, the future.
Yeah, we were. We're having a lot of fun. You know, this is one of those things with a young team, you know, that consistency is always the challenge. And, you know, we're not sitting here and trying to act like, you know, we expect to come out and blow the Miami Heat out of the water. So in the end, we want to take the time to notice the good things and recognize that this team is growing. Now, the third quarter, you know, it didn't have as much good to it. You know, this was a situation where we gave up our lead. But in the end, we were fighting and we didn't quit fighting. So we want to make sure we highlight what we did well. You know, starting out the third quarter, Dort was able to get a steal. And then Roby was able to knock down a three off of a Dort assist. Baisley was able to get the hockey assist, which was really great. Which was really great to see, like you mentioned.
Yeah, this is when we started hearing Michael Cage talk a lot about the phrase getting deeper into the clock. There's a lot of different ways to be able to explain that, but especially with this young team, getting deeper into that clock on the offensive side is the goal. And being able to patiently wait for the right shot is exactly what you want to see. And this is exactly the type of mentality that I love when we have an announcer like Michael Cage that's willing to point that out. You know, the normal person that watches basketball casually won't necessarily knows what that means. But I was really excited that Michael Cage was able to point out that getting deeper into the clock on our offensive side is important to do.
So Dort was able to get fouled on a three-point shot, and he knocked down all three of those free throws. Then there was a play that I wanted to talk to you about. At first, they called it a clear path foul on Dort, but then they overturned it, and Michael Cage, and I agreed with him, I couldn't figure out why they didn't call that a clear path foul on Dort.
You know, there's a lot of these calls that are happening recently, and I just don't understand where the miscommunication is happening. But like you said, this should have been a clear path foul. I just think that there was something maybe us simpletons don't understand. But again, I would like to hear an explanation from the referees to be able to hear exactly why that was called and why they overturned it, because it does affect how other calls are going to be called in the NBA.
You know, then Roby was able to knock down another three off of another Dort assist to him. So that was great to see them building their chemistry. Then there's a play where Baisley had a turnover. It was a very sloppy play. So, you know, it was kind of a sandwich between turnovers almost. But Baisley had a turnover. And so what happened was Butler got the ball and was going down the court. Dort was able to stay with him and catch up and put such great defense on Butler that Butler missed the backboard entirely on his shot and just hit the shot clock. It was pretty incredible defense by Dort, simply because it really didn't seem like he was going to be able to catch up and affect the shot, but he was able to do such an incredible job with it that Butler just pretty much airballed it.
I mean, to us, it's not a surprise when Dort does something amazing on the defensive side. It shouldn't be a surprise to anybody else, but this particular play was something special. It shows that just like one play that you'll see a Dort do when he played defense on LeBron, when he played defense on Harden, he always gets his signature defensive stop. And I felt like this was an unbelievable signature defensive stop. He continues to do this, and this is something why Mark and I get incredibly excited about him, because I do think that he is a massive building block to this team, and exactly where we want to be in the next 5 years is it surrounds Dort, and how he continues to improve his game is something that's unbelievable.
Yeah, and you know, at 6 minutes and 10 seconds left, we were up by 9 still at that point. Baisley and Roby were able to team up to get a steal, and that was great, and then SGA got a bucket off of that. But pretty quickly, something that I think was really critical happened. With 6 minutes and 5 seconds left in the third quarter, Miami was in the bonus. And that was a big way that they got their buckets or their points in the third quarter.
Yeah, you know, but again, it shouldn't surprise anybody when a team like Miami is able to get to the line 25 times in a game. That's how they play their game. It's how they execute is they attack the hole. Butler is one of the best at it. They just have a really good young core. Nunn did a really good job at getting to the line tonight. There's just a lot of good things that we were able to watch Bam and Butler both got to the line over five times. So this is exactly what we're going to expect to see, is the premier players in the league getting to the foul line. And that's why it was a big deal when SGA was able to get to the foul line yesterday 12 times. That's exactly the type of elite guard getting to the foul line that we'd like to see. And it's exactly what Butler and Bam are very good at.
So Dort was able to get a nice bucket with 5 minutes and 20 seconds left, where it was a spin move and he got to the basket and used his left and he finished. And that was a great play. But it took about 2 minutes for us to score the next basket. And when Moose hit a three off of a Dort assist, we were up only 5 points at that point. And our offense was really struggling. In that time, in those 2 minutes, Dort was able to draw two charges on screens, one on a Bam screen and the other one on an Olynyk screen. So he was still, you know, doing what he does, but we were barely hanging on. You know, the lead had pretty much evaporated. And then what happened next was it took us another 2 minutes to score our next basket. So from 3 minutes and 22 seconds left all the way down to a minute and 10 seconds left in the quarter, you know, and at that point we were down five, and then we cut it to three with that Justin Jackson two free throws there. But it wasn't really until SGA hit a step back three a few minutes later that we got our next bucket. But at that point, we were down, you know, at that point we were down four and we were just trying to hang on and cut it. We were able to cut it back down to two off of an SGA bucket. But, you know, going into the fourth quarter, we had lost all of our momentum. The score was 77-79.
Yeah, these are the moments that you recognize that you miss players like Al and George, that recognize when the team is not scoring well and they get put out in the game and they do a bunch of scoring. And typically Al, when he scores, he'll score 6 points really fast. It's furious. He'll hit two threes within like 40 seconds, or he'll hit three buckets within a minute and a half. So having Al in the game, he would have really changed the dynamics of that run that Miami did twice there in the course of 6.5 minutes, 7 minutes, whatever it was. But the point is that this is a young team learning from the mistakes that they make. And I was really impressed with how they were able to take this getting kicked in the chin like they did and get back up.
So starting out the fourth quarter, Kenny Hustle was out there doing his normal thing. He was able to secure an offensive rebound, but we weren't really able to score points. As they built the lead, we ended up using our coach's challenge on a play where Hami took an elbow to the chin, but it was after he had already hit the other guy in the face. So that challenge failed, and the lead was built to 8 points. Teo secured an offensive rebound, but we weren't able to convert, and the lead kept building. It was 10, then it was 12, and at 7 minutes and 40 seconds left, coach called a timeout, and we were down 12, and we were just desperate to figure out a way to start scoring some buckets. We weren't able to figure it out, though, and it wasn't until 6 minutes and 15 seconds left when Baisley got a bucket off of an SGA assist that we finally got our first bucket of the quarter. We were down at that point 15 points, 79-94.
And there's a lot of different ways that you can look at this, but one thing that I absolutely love was that coach allowed these guys to try to get out of the funk themselves, and he's done this a couple times throughout the season. Is a lot of times when you have a young coach and a young team trying to figure out how to gel, they'll call timeout during these droughts and they try to get the guys getting back and playing. But this is part of a huge developmental curve that I see that coach is making, is allowing these guys to try to figure it out themselves, because not every game are you going to be able to call timeout and get them back in and say, come on, guys, get back in this game. No. What he needs to do is be able to put trust in him and put trust in the players. And he did a lot with that tonight with SGA, Maladone, Roby, Dort, and Baisley. So, again, this is exactly what we want to see as far as developmenting these young men.
Right. I didn't feel like we quit. You know, I kept watching and I felt like, you know, we were capable of putting a run on them. It never happened, but, you know, I really felt like we could. Moose was able to knock down a three off of an SGA assist with 5 minutes and 30 seconds left. Let's see, Baisley knocked down a three off of an SGA assist. SGA got a nice bucket off of a great drive. Roby secured an offensive rebound a little bit later. Baisley hit a couple of threes, I believe, at least one more. There you go. Two of them. One at 4:25 and the other one with less than a minute left. And Roby was able to get an offensive rebound, hit a couple of free throws, and then one more bucket for Roby off of an assist from Baisley. But in the end, we lost 94-108. But it was a very good game. You know, overall, we shot 36% from the three-point line, which wasn't as good as we've been doing. But, you know, obviously, those turnovers were an issue, and our putting them into the bonus early in the third quarter, I think those were really what hurt us.
Yeah, it really did hurt us. But I felt like, again, if I'm coach and I'm the assistant coaches, there's so many amazing things from this game film that you can get back the guys in the locker room and build from it, because we've got a hard schedule coming up with another back-to-back game. I think there's 5 games in 7 days. We've got a lot going on just before the All-Star break. So it's going to be huge for us to be able to hone in and get ready for a break. I don't know if SGA, Mark, is SGA going to make the All-Star this year?
I mean, in the end, it's obvious that he deserves it. He's, you know, a very, very good player. We had a lot of issues with, you know, availability and injury early on, and that's going to hurt our record. I don't know if he's going to make it or not. And, you know, it's clear that he deserves it. But, you know, a lot of this type of stuff is related to how your record is. And right now, you know, I don't see it improving enough in time for him to make it, if that's how they're going to assess it. But, you know, he deserves
it. Yeah, and I agree. And I hope he makes it. But if he doesn't, that means that we get an entire week of practice for these guys. This is huge. I'm really excited to be able to have a break like this, to get everybody healthy, to get that second push on that we've seen the last 2 years with Coach Donovan and Sam. As the second part of the season comes on, the veterans start getting more minutes. They stop taking as much breaks. And this is exactly what we need to have from the players, is once we get to that point where we're healthy, it's on. And we all know it. The ones that are listening in and listening to us, they all recognize the same thing that we recognize, is that having Sam and having him design this team, there's no way in the world that this team isn't going for at least 30 wins this year. And if we can get to 30 wins, I think that's huge for the young team. That puts us in a really good position to even make the playoffs. But I do believe that this team is going to be a lot of fun, especially to watch the second half of the season.
100%, man. Now let's talk about our offensive and defensive takeaways. For offensive, you know, watching Miami go to that zone, that matchup zone that they do so well, you know, that was a challenge for us. And I really appreciate what I saw from SGA and his maturation. Coach held him out of the beginning of the fourth quarter, and I think that had a lot to do with our lack of scoring in the fourth quarter. His ability to, you know, find the open man with his cross-court pass and to get to the bucket is critical for this team. And, you know, that zone really was difficult for us. And that's why I think, you know, coming away, I think we can study the film and get better at that.
Yeah, man, 100% on that. Is watching a zone like that is something that it's a privilege to be able to watch, because you can see how well and effective that can be. I'm really excited, again, for Coach to be able to take what he learned in this game and apply it to especially the Spurs twice, Denver. We got a nice little run right here that we can pull a few games out, and I feel like this will be a really good test.
And as far as our defensive takeaways that I want to highlight, let's talk about it. Like, in the first half, we held them to 45 points, and I feel like that was a superb effort.
Yeah, I love it when we have an opportunity to hold a team under 100 points, especially coming going into the half. The way that we were able to create every single, like we said earlier, every single shot to be a difficult shot is exactly what we want from this young team. It's exactly what we want from any team. Is if you're giving them wide open shots, that means something's going wrong. But you don't see a lot of that, especially with Miami in the first half. I didn't feel like they had a really good, true look on the basket. I think Duncan Robinson hit some ridiculous long shot a few times. Those are the type of shots that we want teams taking. But that shows you how well we're doing at making every shot difficult for every player.
For sure, man. And it's that time right now for us to talk about our upcoming schedule. So, you know, I talked to our buddy Post. I hit him up. I was like, yo, let me know what you think about what's going on the next 6 games. That was before the game. And he told me he thought we could go 4-2. And I was like, hell yeah. You know, I thought we could go 6-0 because I'm such a homer. But in the end, you know, 4-2 sounds pretty good to me. So now that's basically saying 4-1. The upcoming games are the Spurs, the Hawks, the Nuggets, the Mavs, and the Spurs. So, you know, obviously we play teams pretty well after we've played them a couple of times. So we could get that Nuggets game. But, you know, I think that the Spurs, the Hawks, the Mavs, and the Spurs, you know, we could definitely win those four and maybe only lose to the Nuggets.
I 100% agree with you, man. I feel like this is an opportunity for our team to go 4-1. You know, whether or not we make it or not, we're not going to be completely heartbroken or upset if we don't go 4-1. But it's a goal that we think that this team can accomplish. It would be really neat to be able to beat Denver this time around, because it shows you how much our guys are improving. And, you know, Murray's playing in an unbelievable level right now. So it'll be really interesting to see how this schedule in the next, 7-8 days? Something like that. 9 days. It's going to be interesting to see how it lines up and how we end up being able to play it out.
Yeah, this is a really interesting point of the year, right? It's a crossroads. We get to see, you know, what's going to happen right now, because in the end, you know, a lot of the people who think that we're not going to do very well this year, they'll look at the upcoming schedule and they'll look at all of the games and think that they're extremely big challenges. They also will look at our rankings and say, hey, we're the third worst team in the West, and that's what they'll want to focus on. But the other way to look at it is that with the new extended playoff format, we're only 2.5 games out of the 10th spot. So really, even though we're the third worst West team, we can really look at it in a way like there hasn't been much separation. And because of that, there's an opportunity for us to really move up. We don't have to look at it and say, oh, our record of 12-19 is really indicative of our position when it's for the playoff race.
Yeah, all it takes is one big 7-game win streak in the second half of the season, or it could be, you know, an 8-game or even a 6-game, but puts us right back in the game of things. Like, that's what I think this team is capable of doing when we get healthy, is I think we could go in the month of March, 7-7 or 7-6 or whatever it is. I think that we could do something, you know, big like that. And if we can continue to get healthy and get these guys playing, I think this is something that Mark and I agree with, is even getting into the top 10, into the bubble, is a big thing for this young team. I consistently see articles that people are putting out there, and people are starting to recognize, if you look at the 2018 or 2019, looking at those young foundation blocks and seeing how good they were, but still maturing, I have to say is that I love the way that this team has been put together, and I love the foundation blocks that are built here. Very similar in a way to the team that was in 2008, is having a lot of heart and soul, having a good mix of very young talent and older players. We don't know where this team is going, but this is something that Mark and I are incredibly excited about, because this team has a legit chance to get to a playoff spot when there has been a lot of games that we've been able to start. Was it 10 games that we've had a starting lineup under 25? So it's huge. This is exactly what we want.
Right. And one of the main reasons we're projecting us to go on a really good run here is because of our recent success that we've had. When our roster has been, you know, less than full strength and we're playing against the best NBA teams, you know, when you look at it like that, the progression that we made and the fact that we were able to outperform our expectations in that meat grinder part of the schedule, it really indicates that this team is farther along than anybody anticipated, even people like us, who I would say are the most optimistic of fans.
Absolutely. And I think it has a lot to do with how this coaching staff has done a really great job at executing and teaching these guys how to play the offensive scheme. It is one of the most beautiful things that I've seen, how they are able to play basketball, pass the ball around. It's something that I get incredibly excited about, is because you don't see a lot of teams that are unselfish like this. And even with having James Harden as somebody that is willing to throw out their 15 assists in a game, still there's just something that's special about these guys and the way they're able to play. Mark and I are both incredibly high about the way that this team continues to mature. And it's something that we've been able to see as this offense gets better, and as the players start playing at a higher level and a better competition, I think it's going to be something that we see at the end of the season pay off big time.
Yeah, man. And speaking of paying off big time, I want to take a moment and recognize the fact that we have continued to rise up the charts. And now we are sitting at 141. We're the 141st ranked podcast for basketball in the United States. So I want to take this moment and just really reflect and look back at like what we've been able to accomplish so much, you know, thanks to our listeners, definitely not on our own. But, you know, when we started this, I think it's pretty clear to anybody who's been listening for a while, it's definitely clear to you, Dave, that I was really, really angry. You know, I felt obligated to listen to all the podcasts that, or any information I could find, even not just Oklahoma City Thunder podcast, but any information I could find about my team. And the stuff that I would listen to left me very, very frustrated and very angry. And I just want to really take a moment and thank all of the people that I have met who have contacted us, and they've helped me calm down, because I'll tell you right now, the people that I've met have healed me from my intense anger at all of the nasty things that the people were saying about our team. You know, I don't really suffer from that anymore. I'm not really bitter anymore. You know, it's not something I appreciate. You know, I'm really happy with what we're doing. But in the end, the people that we've met on this journey have really given us the stuff we need to heal and to move on. And I hope that this show is continuing to improve, because that's our goal.
Yeah. And, you know, some of what Mark was going through was a lot of fiery frustration with the whole aspect of the way that people were being lied to about the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's something that I was very passionate about too, obviously. And being able to be separated from Oklahoma City for a little while now, and being able to try to listen to anything positive about this team, it was almost impossible. I know that Royce Young does a good job sometimes at showing some light onto the team, but it was always really difficult for me looking at it, because I felt like this team really needed a voice for the city. And that's when Mark and I decided whether or not the way that we decided to do it was the right way or not. It doesn't really matter. It's the way that we decided to do it. We stuck together, and we just wanted the Oklahoma City Thunder fans to know is that we're sick and tired of the non-professional basketball players, the non-understanding of how the game is played, to be out there talking that it is better for the Oklahoma City Thunder teams to lose so that we can get good draft picks now and be better in the long run. When Mark and I were looking at it, like, that is the exact opposite of what they should be doing. And we talked to a lot of people that were incredibly intelligent, that spent a lot of times in the major leagues, and they all agreed with us. And we started reading articles about the way that people were talking about the media and how they were being so negative on teams and players. And Mark and I got motivated. And that's when we started saying enough is enough. And it happened about 10 episodes into our podcast, where we went at people. And that's exactly what we did for a while. And the reason was, is we were sick and tired of hearing the negativity from the Oklahoma City Thunder media.
Yeah. And that led us into a spot where we didn't want to come in and just be another podcast. You know, this is a hostile takeover. We are not riding anybody's coattails, you know, and if you don't like it, I'm not concerned about that. This is America. We have the right to express our opinions. And the way we see this is like we are the Oklahoma City Fight Club. We fight for our team, and we fight every single day. Our simple request is that this podcast is reserved for people who have above average basketball IQs. If you don't have that, that's fine. Just don't listen to this podcast.
Yeah, and again, this podcast is for basketball people that enjoy watching the game and that don't want to hear about anything else that's happening on the radio, or what people are doing that day or anything else like that. I was reading one of the podcast covers, and it was like Oklahoma City Thunder podcast, pop culture, and anything else that we can think about. Like, what the crap? Like, you know, this is about basketball. That's what we want to do. We want to make sure we stay on topic. And if we're making fun of somebody, it's because of basketball. When they say something really unintelligent on a podcast or whatever, that's where we call people out. That's where we draw the line. And, you know, we're going to continue with that fiery aspect to it. But yeah, there's going to be a lot of different tone the way we do things.
Yo, I want to go ahead and give a shout out to our fan of the game. Today's fan of the game is Eric Anthony Jones. He caught my eye because he put a post up on Facebook that said, SGA is back. And it wasn't just like, SGA is back. It was like, SGA is back. And he is. He's back and he's better than ever. He's really, really playing well. And I appreciate people taking the time to let everybody know what's going on. You know, I want to give a special shout out, like always, to Hong Kong, to Taiwan. I realized last episode I did not do that. And I try to do that every episode because in the end, you know, we have to stand together against the bastards, and we'll always do that. So, you know, we stand with you. And also, I've been noticing that we have a lot of new listeners from Canada. You know, things are getting great in Canada. Our numbers are going way up. Continue to tell your friends, please. We really appreciate it. We have some great Canadian players. And because of that, you know, we have noticed that we have picked up listeners. We're also picking up listeners in France. We've actually hit the charts in France. We talked about that yesterday. We've hit the charts in Great Britain, Australia, Ireland, and Taiwan. And things are great here in the U.S. where, like we said earlier, you know, we're at 141st place in the U.S. And, you know, obviously we're new, so it's going to be trouble for us to be able to maintain anything. But we're growing very quickly, and we're attaching ourselves to the success of this team. And we're going to ride this wave for as long as it goes. Listen, you may not agree with everything that we say, but deep down, you know that we're right about a few basic things. Number one, that losing is not a good way for an organization to plan their future. That cheering for people to get hurt or anything like that to make it so your draft picks are improved, that is morally wrong. And you join us, I hope, because you want to see these players get better every single day. We really believe this, that we are on the ride of our lives, and we're so grateful that you have taken the time to join us as we watch the Oklahoma City Thunder grow and mature to become the next great Thunder team.
We are the last storm. We're here for Oklahoma City Thunder fans. We are excited that we're here. We are excited that we continue to be able to talk to you guys. And thank you for all the other countries, Canada, Taiwan. We're all behind you guys. Thank you very much for consistently turning us on and tuning out the other noise. We are here for you guys. And if you guys have anything or any questions that you want answered or anything like that, please reach out. Let us know. We would love to hear from our listeners.
Yeah, 100%. You turn us on, baby. All right. And so check this out. My name is Mark, and you have just joined us for the last storm. Thank you so much. We'll be back tomorrow with a pregame against the Spurs. Thunder up, baby.
And I'm Dave, and I'm incredibly excited about the San Antonio game. We have a lot of things to point out that we'll be able to get to tomorrow.